All day yesterday, I was up in Lansing participating in our diocesan assembly, which I want to just speak about for a few moments because it's important to kind of catch up everybody on the comings and the goings of that great event for those of you who were not able to make it. We were really fortunate here at St. John's. We sent about 360 of us to the assembly yesterday. And as a matter of fact, I'm just curious, if you went to the assembly yesterday, would you be willing to raise your hand if you went? Here, a couple here, a couple in the back, a couple on the side. Okay, awesome. Yeah, 350, that is about 25% of our Sunday Mass goers. So about one in every four of us through the Sunday Masses went to that assembly, which I think is awesome. Actually, of all the parishes in the Jackson Vicariate, St. John's sent the most. Yes. That's right. You could clap that. I was enthused about that. I was like, that's all right. We're just the best. It's okay. You know, somebody's got to be the greatest, as the gospel says. Might as well be us. It was a great day. It was a provident day. It was a day of necessity, I think, for our diocese and for the church. We began yesterday, I think, in the best way that we could have began, by processing with our Lord in public from the cathedral, 4 miles down Michigan Avenue, making a turn into the Breslin Center, where we had the assembly gathering for the rest of the day. It was about a two-hour walk. And we had, I would estimate, oh gosh, somewhere between 3,000 or 4,000 Catholics in that procession, about a quarter mile, half mile long, maybe a third of a mile. It was pretty impressive. It was an impressive sight. And what were we doing? We were simply following Jesus in a public way. It's the first time in the history of the Diocese of Lansing that we've done that, which I think is also pretty awesome. Just very vocal, and it was simple. All we did was follow Jesus, and we let Jesus lead the way. What a great and public witness of what it means for us to be Christians, and especially what it means for us to be Catholics and to live our faith in the public sphere, which the world isn't too enthused about, but whatever. I don't answer to the world. Neither do you. You know, we answer to God Almighty. And so we processed with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament from the cathedral to the Breslin Center, where we finished with a time of Eucharistic adoration, and the bishop came and he preached for us. And when he gets going, he's kind of a fiery preacher, so it was awesome. Just a great exhortation of a life of discipleship and what discipleship's actually meant to look like. What a life of faith in Jesus is actually meant to encompass for us. And then for the rest of the afternoon, those who followed in the procession remained, and there was a whole slew of other members of our parishes across the diocese who came just for the afternoon session, and all in all, I would estimate we had, it was not quite a full house, the upper echelons were not full, but I would say 11 or 12,000 Catholics in the Breslin Center, listening to what I thought were just very engaging talks, conferences by three very well-known speakers, Father Mike Schmitz, who has a great online presence, Jennifer Fulweiler, who was a militant atheist turned Catholic, who's got a phenomenal conversion story and is now a speaker and an author, and Deacon Larry Oney, who is a Catholic deacon from New Orleans, as he says. Not New Orleans. And he came, and he was the last one to speak right before the Mass, and then as an entire diocese, we had an all-diocesan Mass with most of the priests of the diocese, probably with the exception of some of the older brethren who were unable to make it due to health circumstances, but just about all the priests of the diocese were there to celebrate Mass with the bishop in the middle of this secular arena to proclaim our faith in a humble but visible and vocal way. It was extremely encouraging, frankly. It was one of the great virtues of the day. Simple encouragement that we received by doing nothing more than being in each other's presence. We don't know how really powerful that is until we gather in such a way. I wish we all had the opportunity to be there. It was very, very moving. It was moving in the afternoon just to hear Father Mike Schmitz talk about a life of joy. And as Christians, what it means, a life of happiness, as that is expressed in the Christian virtue of joy. Joy which is possible in our lives, whether or not we're actually happy in the moment. Whether or not our lives are going well or going poorly. Whether we're struggling or laughing or simply walking out the ho-hum normal day, normal time of our lives. And we moved on, and Jennifer Fulweiler spent her time basically giving her conversion story, which is really remarkable. You know, we don't often know how powerful our own personal witness is. We think to ourselves, man, my life's not really worth talking about. My witness is, man, I don't even know how to give one. I don't even know what that would look like. We think that we ought to have something amazing, and she just simply shared her story. And to share her story with us was so edifying and uplifting. To know that Jesus does come to bring conversion and healing and faith to those who have none. And Deacon Larry Oney, who just really preached so powerfully about the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit in the human heart and what that human heart expresses when the Holy Spirit abides in us, how we respond to that, and how we set down all of those things that want to block us, that want to get in our way, that want to act just in the way that the world acts according to what we heard in the first reading of the Book of Wisdom, those who want to live a life of justice, those who want to live a life of righteousness, guess what you're going to come up against? Don't be surprised. The wicked come to say, we will beset anybody who wants to act just because that person is obnoxious and sets himself against our doings and reproaches us for transgressions of the law, charges us with violations. We're going to see whether this person can abide by their own word and by their own example. So we're going to deliver that person into the hand of his foes. We're going to revile and torture that person and put the just one to the test so that we can prove that person's gentleness and so-called patience. We're even going to condemn him to a shameful death to see whether his God really will take care of him as he so claims. Isn't that true in the world, that if you and I as Christians make a decision to live our lives for Jesus, the world will set itself against you? And the world will do that, and the world will tell you every day, you know what? Walk away. Be ashamed. You got nothing. That's what the world says. That's what the world says to anybody who wants to live a life of faith in Jesus. The world will oppress you. We all know what that, man, I know what that feels like. I know that all of us here in some measure know what that looks like, to feel oppressed, yeah, especially in our spirits, right? So easy for us to be oppressed, especially by that spirit of shame, or the shame that maybe we don't even possess in ourselves, but that the world tries to impress upon us to try us and to ask us, well, do you really believe what you say? I'm going to take away all the good feelings. I'm going to deprive you of all that stuff and see if you remain, see if you abide. And on the other hand, St. James comes in the second reading to speak about even the human hearts that are trapped in the opposite direction. St. James says, do you want to know where disorder comes from? Do you want to know where all of these foul practices come from? It's from the passions of the human heart, from the human heart that is not ordered correctly, that is not made as it should be made, that it does not express itself in the way that it was made to express itself. These things lead to jealousy and ambition. These things deprive the human heart of purity and peace and gentleness and humble compliance and mercy and all of those good fruits. St. James says, where is it that the wars really come from? Where is it that the conflicts really arise? Even in the Christian community, and don't we know it? You know, we think that the problems we have as Christians today are somehow new. Nope. St. James, dude was, right, he was an apostle. Going on in apostolic times, been going on all human history, all Christian history. Where does this arise, the dissension, the fear, the injustice? Man, it comes from the passions of the human heart that make war against its own members. So now enter Jesus into the gospel passage. Jesus, who's going about in his ministry with his apostles, and he continues to do this thing that he will do from time to time. He takes his disciples away from the world. He says, I don't want anybody to know that we're here or that we're around. I need you to be with me. I got important things to say. And so Jesus comes with the apostles, takes them away by himself, and he teaches them this is what it looks like for the Son of Man. And this isn't the first time they've heard it. He's speaking to them about something he's already said. He says the Son of Man's going to suffer. The Son of Man's going to die. In 3 days, the Son of Man is going to be raised. And what does St. Mark, what does he say about how the apostles respond? He says the apostles were confused and afraid. So they don't say a word to Jesus. And they get to where they're going, and Jesus asks them this pretty pointed question. He says, what were you arguing about on the way? And St. Mark says, but they remained silent because they realized that Jesus saw into their hearts. You see, in this moment of the gospel, Jesus is taking, right, this scalpel, this very sharp cutting knife, and addressing a very real concern that he sees in their hearts, which is the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. They didn't understand the words that Jesus were saying, but they were afraid to question him. And then Jesus asks them directly a pointed question, and they're afraid to answer him. So it's interesting how fear drives their ability or their inability to receive the grace of God, to understand what God wants to say, and to respond to what God wants to give. The spirit of fear, it's real. And if I had to give my just completely unsolicited opinion, my unsolicited opinion is this, that the spirit of fear is probably the greatest spirit that oppresses us as disciples. Because the spirit of fear makes us unable to understand God, and it makes us unable to respond to God. And the spirit of fear even goes so far as to distract our minds to be thinking about things that are kind of stupid and unimportant, like who's the greatest? Which we already know that we're the greatest because we sent the most parishioners, right? Jesus comes into the human heart to dispel fear. That's what St. Paul says. St. Paul says, you did not receive a spirit of fear. You received a spirit of great courage that empowers you to call out to God and call him Father, Abba. As an entire diocese yesterday, we took Jesus into the public sphere to do war with the spirit of fear, and to say, you know what? I don't apologize for what I believe, and you can't make me shut up. And all I got to do is walk down the street. That's awesome. And we didn't just do that as disciples, one. We did that as thousands. We gave each other our gift of witness, which is part of what dispels the spirit of fear. You ever felt like you were a one-man army? Yeah, how easy is it to wage that kind of war? Right? How oppressive does the spirit of fear feel to you in that moment? I mean, I don't know how it feels. It's paralyzing. What does it feel like to be one member of a 1,000-strong army when you can look around, look around and see people who believe what you believe and who are ready to speak as you speak and to act as you act? What's the spirit of fear look like in that moment to you? Puny. And even if you do, right, kind of have the jitters, even if you do feel a little bit anxious, it's not like you have to carry yourself, because all you got to do is put your arm this way to the person on your left and this way to the person on your right, and you say, you know what, you can help me to walk, and we're going to walk together, and now we're empowered to preach and to understand and to respond to the words of Jesus Christ. We need that today more than ever. As Christians, as Catholics, we need that. I mean, the world needs that. And that's not a commission that we receive from a priest who preaches a homily. And it's not a commission that we receive from our bishop. It's not a commission that we receive even from very dynamic, awesome, compelling speakers. That's a commission that we receive from Jesus Christ. That's a commission that nobody gets to absent themselves from. And so we ought to take stock of the fact that we do not answer to the world. We don't. You don't even answer to me at the end of your life. You don't answer to the Pope at the end of your life. You don't answer to your parents at the end of your life. You don't answer to your friends or your enemies at the end of your life. You go to the end of your life and you stand before the Lord of all the universe. And he's the one you want to please. If there's anything in your heart that you're afraid to ask Jesus about, it's okay. Apostles were there. I've been there. All of your seatmates have been there. If there's something in your heart that doesn't understand what Jesus is saying to you, it's all right. The apostles been there. I've been there. Your seatmates have been there. If you've ever felt afraid because you feel like Jesus can see right through you and ask you pointed questions that you're afraid to answer him, that's okay. Jesus breaks into your fears and he breaks into my fears, not to crush you, but to free you.